Afternoon and welcome to today's Food for Thought with me, Charlotte Reed. On today's show, we speak to Gary Goddard, the owner of the new coffee at Linkston Nepal Shop, as well as feature two new recipes and have a quick food news roundup. But first of all, this week I headed to Burton Road at the top of Steep Hill to meet Gary Goddard. He founded the charity Linkston Nepal, which helps out children in Nepal. Coffee at Linkston Nepal opened at the beginning of June to help raise money for the charity, and I started by asking Gary how the new business is going.
We had a launch party on a Friday evening, invited all local businesses, all small independent businesses around us and some of our regular customers in the shop. Had a really nice evening. Business is picking up a little bit, but it's difficult because we opened on the Friday of the big bank holiday weekend, lots of people away, and then half term. So it's really a case of putting the word out there now that we're open. It took around 6 months to establish the shop, so I guess it could probably take us about the same period of time with this venture.
So why did you decide that you would have a coffee shop alongside your normal sort of clothes shop?
As soon as we moved up here last October and opened a really small shop, I noticed there was a real community spirit up here that you don't really get in town anymore. There's a lot of people living up here who've lived here for a long while. Everybody seems to know each other. And we want to be part of that community. So when we decided to extend the shop, it seemed logical to put in a small coffee shop as well and cater for minority groups like vegans as well, who sometimes struggle to find somewhere to get a decent coffee or food. And also, we wanted to provide a little venue for the community that people are free to use in the evenings if they want, and also to provide good food, only cakes and soup, that kind of thing, all homemade, and good coffees and teas at a reasonable price. I know these big American corporations can justify charging you £3 for a cup of coffee, but we're trying to provide something it's more affordable to people in this climate.
You're quite different in the setup that all your profit goes towards a charity. Do you want to explain a bit more about how that's set up?
Linkston Nepal is a charity I set up in 2009. I've been doing volunteer work in Nepal since 2007. We have various children's projects going on in Nepal at the moment, all around the rescuing trafficked children and providing education for children. And this cafe is a good way of talking to people about what we do. You know, we've got photos up on the walls and things. When people come into the shop to buy clothes or the Nepalese crafts, they're usually in a bit of a hurry. But in the cafe, it's a bit more relaxed. People can come in, talk to us. There's free handouts on our work. And it's just another vehicle, really, that we could use to tell people a lot more about our work. And we've only been open a week, and already we've had quite a lot of people come in and have just sat for ages just talking about, you know, what I do and why I do it. And all the profit does go to the cause. All we have to pay on this building is our rent. It's staffed by volunteers. I'm here full-time, 7 days a week, but I'm a volunteer. I don't take a wage, I don't take any expenses. Every penny that's spent in here, once we've paid for the rent and our stock, yeah, it all goes back over there.
What in particular is your money-raising done towards helping in Nepal?
We have a children's home over there. We work in conjunction with a small American organisation who we partner and the Nepali government. They identify homes that are illegally run, full of trafficked children. We close them homes down and we move the children into our homes. Within 6 months, we usually get 80% of them back with their families. The others stay with us and will receive an education right through to whatever level they can get to, and then vocational training. And we've also, there's quite a lot of schools we've done work at out there to improve facilities. And we've also got our own project going, which involves children who live on the riverside rubbish dumps coming into our preschool. We've got 60 children there now. They come 6 days a week. They receive a preschool education, clean clothes, washing facilities, hot meals. And then when they reach five, we provide scholarships so they can continue their education. And by us having them at preschool age, it also frees up the parents to try and find some kind of work. But we have now, in the evening, set up women's empowerment groups, teaching them to make handicrafts, candles, things like that. And that gives them then the chance to support themselves and their children.
And why did you decide that you particularly wanted to help out Nepal and the situation with children in Nepal?
I first went out there in 2007 for 3 months. I was working as a bricklayer at the time, and I went out to do some voluntary work. I went to build an orphanage out there. I intended to come home and get on with my life after the 3 months, but I made some silly promises while I was out there, and also I was shocked and surprised, really, at the level of poverty out there and also how nice the people are. And it's kind of grown from there. And it's the children that need help, because there's very few who can afford education. And we're working with the poorest of the children and the lower caste children and providing a chance in life that they wouldn't have otherwise. And education is the only way they can get out of the situation they're in. And also, obviously, the trafficking issue, which is huge over there. The last rescue we did, we rescued 23 child prostitutes aged from 8 to 12. So, you know, it's work that needs doing.
And later in the show, we'll be hearing from Gary again, when he'll be talking about getting the people of Lincoln as passionate about his charity as he is.
Well, we've only been open 8 or 9 days, so we have had quite a lot of people sit down. I've had one couple who've come in who are now planning a trip to Nepal, so already it's paying dividends.
But before that, today's first recipe is for chicken teriyaki, so let's head to the kitchen to find out a bit more.
Chicken teriyaki is a Japanese dish which is essentially cooked chicken in a sweet soy sauce. This recipe isn't particularly authentic, but it is very tasty. And for it, you'll need chicken breasts, soy sauce, brown sugar, stock, spring onions, and rice. Start off by pouring out the rice and put it on the boil on a lowish heat. This means it can cook whilst you're doing everything else. Next, dice some chicken breasts and put to one side whilst preparing the rest of the ingredients. Slice some spring onions up. Save them for adding just at the end of cooking the dish. And to make the sauce, this doesn't take particularly long either. All you need to do is boil the kettle to help you make some stock using a stock cube. Pour in some soy sauce and stir in some brown sugar. Check the Food for Thought section on the Siren website to find out the exact measurements you'll need to make this sauce. Before you start cooking the chicken in a frying pan, season it slightly with some salt and some pepper or some ginger if you want. Then when the chicken is cooked, pour in the sauce. And allow this to cook for a further 5 minutes or so. Then add the spring onions and leave it cooking on the hob for another 2 minutes. After that, you'll be ready to serve the chicken teriyaki and the rice.
And if you want to find out any more details about how to make any of the recipes featured on the show, then head over to the Siren website, which is sirenonline.co.uk. But now it's time for a quick food roundup. Back in May, the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs rejected a bid to ensure that Lincolnshire sausages could only be made in Lincolnshire. DEFRA said that their decision was based on the number of jobs that could have been put at risk. However, the Lincolnshire Sausage Association is fighting this decision. They have now set up a petition to help the county's Lincolnshire sausage makers, and so far there are almost 800 signatures supporting the local sizzler. Lincolnshire's fish and chip shops have reason to celebrate, as the Burton Road Fish and Chip Shop and the Wellborn Fish and Chips of Lincoln have both received an award for best quality from the National Federation of Fish Friers. The aim of the Fish and Chip Quality Awards scheme is to raise the standard of the healthiness of the dish. And finally, the Continental Market returns to Lincoln from Thursday the 14th of June to Sunday the 17th of June. The market brings the best food that Europe has to offer to Lincoln's high streets. So make sure you visit it before it goes. Now, earlier in the show, I was speaking to Gary Goddard about his new coffee shop, which on top of offering cake and tea, also aims to help out charity work for children in Nepal. Now he explains how the coffee shop is helping to get people interested in his cause.
People haven't been out there and as involved as I am. They probably don't have quite as much passion as I do about it, which is understandable. But I think, again, the cafe gives us an opportunity to meet different people. People who probably wouldn't come into the charity shop normally, but will come in for decent food and coffees at the right price. So that gives us another option. And obviously fundraising's, it is difficult, especially in a place like Lincoln, a small city, but also, you know, not many people have got a lot of spare money at the moment. So we've got to work really, really hard. And it's all right putting on events and sponsored events. You know, I still need to keep doing that, but we need regular income streams as well. And the shop's just started to bring in a regular profit, and I think the coffee shop will add to that.
Do you find that people want to know about your work in Nepal when they come into the coffee shop, or do they just sort of want to be left alone, or is that why it's quite different? It's something where people would be actively wanting to come in to help out.
Yeah, that was the thinking behind it, really, and to some degree, well, we've only been open 8 or 9 days, so we have had quite a lot of people sit down. I've had one couple who've come in who are now planning a trip to Nepal. I've had a couple of people come in and have signed up to do the Yorkshire three-piece challenge, which we're doing in July. So already it's paying dividends. I mean, people come in, some people just want to have a coffee or soup or a cake and just want to be left alone. We don't push it anybody, but it is nice the amount of people who get a chance to sit down rather than just roaming around the shop browsing. They'll sit down, they'll pick a leaflet up off the table, they'll read it and they'll say, you know, I didn't realise you was as involved as you are over there. So yeah, we've already attracted quite a lot of friends in the short time we was open. And like I say, they're the kind of people that if they were coming in just to buy something from the shop, they browse, they find what they want and they leave. But here they get a chance to sit down, relax, and we've had some really positive feedback.
What impact do you think that this coffee shop will have on your charity?
Well, hopefully it'll raise some much needed funds, but it'll raise a lot of awareness, because we're still at a stage. I think a lot of people in Lincoln have heard the name now. We've been going for a few years now, but there are so many charities about. At least what we're trying to do is provide a positive venue with a nice atmosphere where people can sit and learn more about us.
What do you see the future for the coffee shop and the shop? And obviously you've expanded quite quickly into a coffee shop. Do you want to move into something else? Or,
well, this building that we're in at the moment is split into 7 units, and we started with one. We've now got 3. Who knows, you know, there's, we really haven't got enough room at the moment. So hopefully, as we grow, as we get more regular customers, we'd like the students to come up here a little bit more. We don't see many of the university students, although I think the things we sell would appeal to them. We do vegan food and drinks, and there's quite a big vegan community who are slowly starting to filter up here. So as we grow and get a regular base, you know, we don't know. It'd be nice to think in a couple of years that we're using the whole building to promote a charity and to raise funds, but some way off that yet.
And that was me talking to Gary earlier in the week. And if you'd like to listen to that interview again, or even the whole show, then visit the Siren website at sirenonline.co.uk. There you can also get in touch with me and let me know if you've tried out any of the cafes or recipes that we have featured on the show. And now it's time for today's second recipe. So let us step back into the kitchen for one more time.
To make the toffee muffins, you will need butter, eggs, self-raising flour,
baking powder, sugar, cinnamon, salt, milk, and fudge pieces. Start by mixing all the dry ingredients together. So put the flour in a bowl, along with a teaspoon of salt and 2 teaspoons of cinnamon. Then mix in the sugar. To find out all the precise measurements for this recipe, then visit sarahonline.co.uk and click on the Food for Thought section. Now it's time to sort out all the wet ingredients. Start by melting some butter. And then allow it to cool slightly before adding some milk and then 2 eggs. Stir in the milk and the eggs. Next, bring the wet and the dry ingredients together, mixing the two until you have a sort of smooth batter. Now you need to add half of the fudge pieces and then mix them into the batter as well. Spoon the cake mixture into cupcake cases and put the remaining fudge pieces on top of the cakes. Then pop them in the oven for 25 to 30 minutes.
And as always, if you want to find out any more information about that, then pop over to our website. But that's all I have for you on today's episode of Food for Thought. You can listen to the show or find out any more details over on the Siren website. If you try out any of the recipes or know of a cafe or a restaurant that should be featured on the show, then please do let me know, and you might even get a mention on the show too. But that's all for now, and thanks for listening.